Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station. Just a man with a nickname, always allowed to say with no shame. Monday, August 9th, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seglin here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. I'm coming in solo today, off the rip. Got out, played nine holes this morning with my brother and Mustard. Looking forward to coming in and catching up on the world of sports today. A lot to touch on, a lot to cover, a lot to catch up on. As I saw a lot of people coming back onto the airwaves off of vacation. Saw Skip and Shannon back on. Keyshawn made it back on to the morning airwaves. Happy to see all those guys back. Still waiting for a few more to return. Plenty going on in the sports world as the Olympics wrap up. Team USA holding it down. Most gold medals. Most overall medals for the USA in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, which have now concluded. Get a little update, wrap up on the Olympics. Wanted to touch on the Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremonies we had this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Getting in the 2020 Hall of Famers, obviously due to COVID, Saturday, and the 2021 enshrinement last night was something special. I got some MLB updates, even though Chu is not here. I can feel the pain from the Mets fans as it gets closer and closer to postseason time in the MLB. Looking forward to linking up with Chu when it can go down. But until then, try and catch you up on a little bit. What's going on with that? NFL preseason fully underway, and obviously there's stuff going on in the NBA. Tampering issues, off-season activities. In summer league, getting going, getting to see some of these rookies out there balling. I saw Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green making their debuts last night. Plenty of young talent to watch out in the summer league for. Saw Jericho Sims for the New York Knicks. Pretty much his head on the rim, so I'm sure Rich is super pumped up about that. I'm super pumped up to be here talking a little bit of sports today, catching up on the world of sports. Appreciate all love and support for the podcast. As always, follow along on my Instagram or Twitter page at Seggy Station. Still got a live version up on my Twitch stream, it's _Seggy_G. And still got the podcast out on a few platforms, Spotify, Podbeam. Hopefully you get your podcast there. Appreciate you always checking out the podcast. Hopefully we'll get some more people on here catching up on the world of sports soon. Trying to get some more special guests, trying to spread it out a little bit. Been busy at work, got a lot of stuff going on my days off with appointments and whatnot, but happy to be here ripping up the sports talk today. Obviously got a lot of solo smoke, and I saw the legend Bobby Bowden, 91 years old, pass away yesterday in graduating class with my grandmother. Certainly got something to say about that. Looking forward to doing it here shortly. Right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Sega Straight Talk. Microphone is always direct. Time to reflect. Let's get it. Sports today. Let me start with this. Was watching the Hall of Fame enshrinements this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday was 2020 Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremonies, including Jimmy Johnson, Bill Cowher, Ederin James, who had just an incredible career, 15,610 all-purpose yards, 91 total TDs, 7 1,000-yard seasons, NFL's rushing leader in back-to-back seasons. Troy Polamalu included in that class as well. The whole thing with the, and I've watched Hall of Fame enshrinements before, I did not realize that they called the fit heads or whatever, the statue heads that they all show off, which are pretty cool, and some of the reactions of the players and how realistic they look is always great as well. Obviously Drew Pearson's fro and Ederin James's dreads and everything that we saw out of the Hall of Fame enshrinement, including the speeches, were great. But I wanted to touch on a few things in particular from it. I did not realize, as I mentioned, that the statues were called busts, and that is kind of confusing to me, considering all these guys are definitely not busts. Peyton Manning had an impressive speech, as many of us could have predicted. Obviously, he's been on the forefronts of commercials, television, cracking jokes, and I thought his speech was Peyton Manning-esque. Edgerrin James, as I mentioned some of his stats, his speech was even better. Just talking about how no one expected him to be able to be in the NFL because he had dreads, and it doesn't matter what you look like or where you come from to get to certain places. And a lot of those people get up there and make these speeches, saying things like that, battling adversity, I'm not giving up, mentioning their families, and they're very emotional, tough to watch. Charles Woodson last night up there literally crying the entire time, but I thought he gave one of the best speeches this weekend as well. He had his mom, Georgia, bring him out, which I thought was pretty impressive to see. And just the way he kind of reacted to his mom, starting out singing. I'm not the only mama's boy. Anyways, I thought Calvin Johnson had the best speech. And Calvin Johnson, a guy that only played 9 years in this league, he's got single season record for yards at over 1,900 there. He's the third player in Shrine, 35 years or younger. Gale Sayers and Jim Brown, the only others. He's got all of Detroit's all-time receiving records. We all obviously know him as Mechatron and double coverage, and not only double coverage, but at the line of scrimmage, double coverage. And this guy, first ballot Hall of Famer, obviously not known for saying much. And I thought all the things he said, not only with how he injured himself in year one and had back issues, basically was in pain his entire career and had to take a lot of opioids or any of the medicines and shots and pills to play. I knew that he was a big advocate for getting against that, and he's been supporting cannabis and all the things that wellness brings to that in people's lives and people suffering and pain. And he took the time to recognize all them, all of us, people suffering. And I thought it was just special to see how these guys get up there and use their platforms to also recognize what's going on in the country, in the world, trying to make people be better people. And that's basically how you get to the Hall of Fame, is not only being a great player, but a great person, a great teammate. And listening to all of them recognize not only their careers, but their families and teammates and all that is always special. And I found that to be special to watch this weekend, with sports kind of dwindling a little bit, with just kind of MLB, and you got some summer league basketball. We're still waiting for NFL and Olympics kind of wrapping up. So I thought that was a good timing by the NFL to kind of slam that in there this weekend before the season. And it was great listening to some of those guys give speeches. Drew Pearson waited a long time. He was an undrafted free agent, original number 88, second undrafted into the Hall of Fame. John Lynch was in this class. I thought it was great. Chris Berman, basically calling the event, football immortality for all these guys. Just pretty impressive to see the eight that got in this yesterday, star-studded class, and then there was, I think, another 15, 17 combined Super Bowls on Saturday. A lot of Steelers. As I mentioned, Charles Woodson. I didn't even mention Peyton Manning, five-time MVP. Well, I mentioned him a little bit, but not much. So Tom Flores, who was 87 up there, giving a speech. First coach, first minority coach to win a Super Bowl, first Latino to win a Super Bowl, head coach in a Super Bowl, assistant coach, first Latino player. He's got a lot of incredible things going on. He was winning Super Bowl 15 as a wild card team. You get a lot of the history of the game with this as well. So I thought that was a lot of fun to check in on and watch. And if you missed it, you should check in on some of those speeches. There's a lot of great things said that I think a lot of people should hear. Moving on to Bobby Bowden. wanted to touch on Bobby Bowden quickly. Born in 1929, died yesterday. 91 years old, one of the winningest coaches in college football history. He's got the second most FBS wins in history, 377 career wins, 21 bowl victories, which is second to only Joe Paterno, two-time national champion for FSU, where he coached for 34 seasons, 1993 and 99. When he joined the squad in 76, they went 0-11 the season prior, 1-10. It took them a while to build up. He built them up into a perennial top five powerhouse, did Bobby Bowden. He was basically a larger-than-life character. He had a great personality, and like obviously a lot of these coaches do. I always remember a lot of my coaches and faith and character and basically all the things they teach you, not only in sports, but to kind of go off in life. You know, it's one of these things where when he retired in 2009, my grandmother, who passed away this year, was 91 years old. Living that long of a life, I think people take that stuff for granted. The elderly, to me, are so wise, and they have so much to offer, and knowledge and advice and stories, memories, all these things that can kind of guide you through things, you know, make you feel a little bit better when you're down. You know, a lot of people showing their respects to Bobby Bowden, obviously in the sports world, and what they meant to him. It's incredible to see people live that long of a life and all they kind of done in their life. You know, you'd be lucky to do as much as Bobby Bowden, but I also correlate it to my grandmother, where you live that long, you impact so many people in so many special ways, and you should never take for granted any of that time that you get to spend with somebody who's up in age and all the things they have to offer. It was sad to see the news about Bobby Bowden, obviously. Going forward, obviously, with everything going on still with COVID, it's been tough for the elderly, obviously with the virus. So you just hope and pray that these people can continue to get through this situation and we don't see any of these people passing away. Bobby Bowden did have issues with pancreatic cancer. No mentions of him having any issues with COVID, but obviously it's important with everything going on. You watch out for the elderly. And you know, I was driving through Clinton, I saw a big rally out by the town hall about unmasking our kids, and it's like, all right, man, do what you want to do. Like, I feel like a lot of people are doing that until it gets pretty bad, and then who knows how it goes from there. Just hopefully things don't get shut down, including sports. But you still see this trickle-down effect with it in sports. I saw Anthony Rizzo with a positive test, who's a cancer survivor, and he talked about not wanting to get the vaccine because there's not enough data. And I think at this point, you just got to respect where people are at with the COVID situation and just try and look after yourself. Basically, that's all we can do anyways, in general. But it is crazy to see kind of how quickly things can change, not only just with relationships, life, things that happen in life, but obviously now with COVID and just seeing everything kind of trickling back and going day by day and trying not to really read or look at it, but you also want to be informed. You know, it's kind of just wild to see this whole time lapse of sports, COVID, pandemic, shutdown, open, still COVID. It is crazy to me. They did end up getting the Olympics through and through. I saw that the U.S. had the most medals in an Olympic history with 113, a single Olympic, 113 medals, 39 golds. They edged out China on the final day, who had 38 golds, and were in second total medal count with 88. The USA also had 41 silvers and 33 bronze. Cleaning up was the USA at the Olympics, which did get through with everything going on. Obviously, with the COVID state emergency there, I did mention a lot of the updates I had last week on it, and now closing it out with both Team USA men's and women's basketball capturing gold medal. Asia Wilson, shout out to Asia Wilson and Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, Brittany Griner. The fact of the matter is the world is catching up when it comes to men's basketball, and congratulations to the men who got it done and did still continue to win gold despite struggling in exhibition games and losing their first game to France. They end up battling back, beating France in the gold medal game, 87-82. Kevin Durant, 29 points. He's had now two 30-point games and gold medal games. 2012 and 2018, I believe, were the years. And another 29, obviously, this past game. Always showing up when it matters is Kevin Durant, it seems. A lot of people now talking about him as the best player in Olympic history, three-time Olympic champion, leading scorer in U.S. men's basketball Olympic history, first player to score 100-plus total points in three different Olympics. As I mentioned, he's first in total points, 406 free throws made, 61 three-pointers made, 71 three-point attempts, 140, all those rank first. But for me, it was you see Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird, most decorated players in U.S. basketball history, five gold medals. As a woman, have won now seven straight gold medals, 55 straight Olympic Games, haven't lost since they started playing in 1992, and there is no such thing as a gap, larger gap than what is happening currently between women's USA basketball and the rest of the world. The rest of the world is not catching up. It's completely unfair. I saw Brittany Griner, 30 points in their gold medal game, defeating Japan, where the woman 90 to 75. Just an absolute bludgeoning throughout the tournament. The woman putting out an absolute display of majesty when it came to basketball and absolutely destroying the rest of the world, toying with the rest of the world. Asia Wilson, she celebrated her 25th birthday yesterday. And she is a 2021 Olympic gold medalist, 2020 WNBA MVP, 2018 WNBA Rookie of the Year. She was drafted number one in 2017. She was a 2017 national champion. She was a consensus national player of the year in 2017-2018. She's also South Carolina's all-time leading scorer with 2,389 points. That's pretty impressive by the age of 25. Got to shout out Dawn Staley, who's the first player to guide an Olympic basketball team to gold as a player and a coach. History for Dawn Staley is an absolute legend of the game, and I keep talking about Becky Hammon getting a shot as an NBA head coach. Watch out for Dawn Staley. Did want to shout out Eddie Alvarez, who made history. He's only the sixth athlete in history to medal in both the Summer and Winter Olympics. Baseball did get blanked in the gold medal game by Japan, and Japan wins its first Olympic gold ever. So shout out to that. Kevin Durant joins Melo as the only three players to win three Olympic golds. A lot of people debating as if Kevin Durant's the best player in the world and all time and all, in Olympic history for the men. It's a lot of recency bias shit that I don't even want to get into right now. I mentioned Alex and Felix, who then won the gold with the women's 4x400 meter relay, making Alex and Felix the most decorated Olympic track and field athlete of all time, passing Carl Lewis. I mentioned her a little bit last week. Her battle with Nike and premature baby and near-death experience, and now winning her first medal in 2004, multiple medals in every Olympic since. As I mentioned, 11 medals is absolutely wild. I saw Patty Mills go off for 42 points as Australia beat Slovenia 107-93 to earn a first Olympic medal in basketball history. Patty Mills is joining the Nets, and that's not a good look for myself. I saw Gable Stevenson take home the gold in wrestling, I believe, doing some wild flips after the fact. Yeah, it was 125 kg freestyle wrestling. And I mentioned Katie Ledecky and Cindy McLaughlin, Alex and Felix. Of course, mentioned Simone Biles, mentioned the women's basketball team, and a lot of people for USA contributing. I saw Nelly Korda also take home the gold, seeing Team USA sweep men's and women's golf for gold, which is certainly impressive. And going forward, it's going to be tough. Yeah, it was 2012, 2016, not 18 for Kevin Durant. Yeah, that wouldn't make sense. It's every 4 years. Get your math right, bro. Yeah, the Olympics were certainly something special to watch. Saw a lot of records, world records, history all around, and obviously a dominant performance by USA all around, which is certainly a good sight and interesting with everything going on. To still see us continuing to dominate in the sports world is a good thing. As a guy that likes to cover sports and talk about sports, I think this is a great thing. Let's see what else I got. Did have a bunch of other random stuff to touch on. Did want to touch on the golf that happened yesterday, because that was wild, and there's not much on before that Hall of Fame enshrinement, so I was checking in on that. I saw Abraham Ancer win his first PGA Tour victory. He was a four-time runner-up. He won yesterday at the World Golf Championship, FedEx St. Jude Invitational, on a playoff over Sam Burns and Hideki Matsuyama, who was in back-to-back playoffs after being in that wild Olympic playoff. I saw that there was, I believe it's, 10 playoffs, 29 extra holes heading into yesterday. There was two extra holes, so 11 playoffs, 31 extra holes on the PGA Tour this season, which doesn't include, as I mentioned, that seven-player, four-hole playoff in the Olympics in which CT Pan took home the bronze. Playoff golf, sudden death golf, seeing Harris English on that back nine kind of with a five-shot lead blow up yesterday, seeing Siwoo Kim make a 13 on a par three, hit five balls into the water. I think it's funny for people that don't golf, and then for people that do golf, I'm sure that pain is real for that player in that position. You really don't know that feeling leading not only any golf tournament, but a PGA Tour event until you get there, and things tend to get a little tight, being able to control that. 155-yard par 3, 11, 13 for Siwoo Kim. But there were some impressive shots, and Abraham Ancer hit some impressive shots in that playoff. The fourth Mexican-born player to win on the PGA Tour. As I mentioned, it was his first PGA Tour victory. That was something special. What was insane, and I saw Cam Smith miss out on the playoff on 18 with a double, which is another one of those moments I was just talking about. And the appreciation for these guys playing this great of golf is pretty impressive. But I saw he had 18 putts and 18 holes in Saturday's round. He had 4-0 putts, so a few chip-ins, obviously. 18 putts and 18 holes. That's pretty impressive. I think it was, it ties the fewest putts on in a round in tour history. 18 putts.
Cameron Smith rocking the mullet, playing a lot of good golf. A lot of guys playing a lot of good golf, but as I mentioned, a win on the PGA Tour, to win any golf tournament, absolutely crucial to be in the right mental capacity. And seeing some of those guys fall out, choke up a little bit, definitely tough. Let's see what else I got for today. Let's see. Yeah, Harrison Ingles, two water balls on the back nine, plus four on his last two par threes. I saw he played with DeChambeau, I think. Neither of them made a birdie on the back nine. DeChambeau wasn't even in contention, really, but he fell out of contention real quick because of that. Yeah, just a wild golf tournament yesterday. It's a lot of random things to catch up on that I want to do. Saw Tom Brady at the Hall of Fame enshrinement, making his appearance there, getting booed. I saw LeVar wearing an I Told You So hat, as I saw LeAngelo's summer league debut for the Hornets, which I covered. LeVar was at the game. I believe LaMelo was watching as well, not playing. There's some interesting stuff going on in the NBA involving Lonzo Ball and Kyle Lowry, as the NBA is investigating possible tampering around the two. I believe just the two. Which I think is pretty hilarious. But that's something rather than nothing. Had something to say about that. Saw Michael Thomas. Been ignoring the Saints for 3 months, which kind of already know that by now. Things aren't kind of going good there. Even though I think Jameis is going to be the starter, it's going to be tough without Michael Thomas. And I'm rooting for Jameis, rooting for the Saints. But Michael Thomas doesn't seem to be all in to play for the New Orleans Saints. Football is getting closer and closer, man. I saw Saquon getting activated off the PUP list. Good sight to see there. We'll see if he's able to go week one. And if he is able to go week one, that is going to be really great for us Giants fans that I think are going to be in tune for something real special this season. Revamped defense. Daniel Jones, a lot of pressure definitely applied this season with all the now weapons he has on the offense side of the ball, and very little excuses able to be made if all these people are back now healthy with some of the things we saw last season with injuries for the team. I saw the tussle and all that bullshit, and that doesn't bother me as long as he's all right. Not good to see him at the bottom of the pile. But good to see the intensity at such an early rate. You're seeing it across the league, really, everywhere. But I think it's going to be a legit season. I'm struggling to see what's going to go on in that division because I don't know what's going on with Dak. I don't know what the fuck's going on with the Eagles. And honestly, a lot of people thinking that the Washington football team will be really good with Fitzmagic, I think, is a bit questionable as well. So I think all things are pointing up for the Giants. If we can kind of right the ship early, it's going to start up against choose Denver Broncos off the bat, and I'm looking forward to that for sure. Looking forward to trying to link up with Chew again, even though I didn't even want to reach out to him today because I can – feel the pain already from here with what's going on with the Mets, you know, leading the division for 3+ months. And now basically I think a game and a half, almost 2 games back, Phillies swept them, 8 straight wins, 8-3 of their last 11. I think the Mets are 3-8 of their last 11. The Grom continues to be obviously on the shelf. Who knows what's going to happen with him, depending on what happens with the Mets the rest of this season. Obviously, Lindor is still out. Javi Baez contributed in trade deadline piece. But going forward, all I see is Steve Cohen hyping up the fans on Twitter and the team when they continue to lose. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel bad for my guy Chu, to be honest. Yankees just two games back of that wild card, even though Rizzo positive test. It'll be interesting to see if they can get back into the playoff picture, even though I think Sterling Marte is the steal of this trade deadline thus far for the Oakland A's. I know Chu told me that the Yankees will knock out the Oakland A's, but don't count out Sterling Marte, who's been making absolutely incredible highlight baseball plays this week with walk-offs and walk-off catches and fucking, I mean, the dude doesn't even look like a baseball player either. He looks like a running back, and he's just out here just destroying. I've been catching in on some of the baseball. I wish it would be playoff time. Wish there was less games to be played. But, hey, we got to play all the games to see where it's at, even though I think we're playing all these games just to have the Dodgers repeat with what I saw from Max Scherzer's debut, what I saw from some of these other MLB teams, including the Giants in the same division, first team to 70 wins in the MLB, 70-41. They were 40-1 odds, I believe, to win the division back in April. Their second best record through 111 games since moving to the Bay in 1958. San Francisco Giants, LA Dodgers, San Diego Padres, with Tatis still on the shelf and surgery not off the table with him if things don't get better, which is not ideal for Padres guys. Yep. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll come on back. I got a little bit of a SportsCenter update to go through. Try and run through a couple of these quick NFL bursts. I got a couple of NBA bursts to get through. And I'll probably get out of here for the day as I'm kind of exhausted and have a dentist appointment tomorrow. And I'm definitely pissed about it. All right. Be right back in the Segi Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. The Segi Station is brought up by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out to Rescue Mutt to many, but life savings can to me. To me, not the promotes true home happiness in a household by the love and companion of a pet, especially at a time like this. Get yourself a love pet friend like mine. It's your local animal shelter, Pound and Nursery. Save their life and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your SportsCenter update. New York Giants offensive lineman Zach Fulton will retire, according to News A Day. Is the third New York Giant to retire in 4 days this past week. 29 years old. Hey, I don't even know him, so doesn't bother me. You don't want to be there? See ya. According to experts, a spike in COVID-19 seemingly tied to the Bucks NBA title run. As Health Commissioner Kirsten Johnson confirmed that probable cases were among people who either been to a Bucks game or attended the team's celebration. According to the report, number is likely an undercount. I don't know what's good at any of these numbers. I saw Jimmy Johnson elected into Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor, as he was elected into the Hall of Fame this week. And as I mentioned, was the head coach of the team from 93 to 93. Won two Super Bowls, and the Cowboys have not been back to the NFC Championship game since 1993. Just wanted to throw that in there. I'll be interested to see how the Cowboys do this season. A lot of hype up around the Cowboys, and I think it's pretty funny how you don't have a backup with Dak coming off a serious injury and now kind of banged up. Giants are, quote, optimistic on Kenny Galladay, who suffered a leg injury this past Tuesday. Not believed to be serious, and we had further evaluations Wednesday. Didn't hear anything on it, so hopefully it should be good. Long-awaited NCAA gender equality review recommends combined Final Four for both men's and women's basketball at the same site. Very good news there, as there's been a lot of bad news coming out of the NCAA, college football, name, image, likeness. A lot of great news for a lot of these athletes, though. Lionel Messi agrees to a 2-year deal in principle with Paris Saint-Germain. Options for a third year, according to ESPN sources. As I mentioned, Nelly Korda takes Olympic gold. The U.S. sweeps men's and women's gold in golf. There's a report according to this Yahoo report that unvaccinated workers fear company COVID-19 policies could single them out in the workplace. That's already happening in the NFL. I saw its official PS5 has sold 10 million consoles, and they say thank you to all their wonderful supporters, even though those things are fucking sold out and buying them is pretty much impossible. So, shout out to PlayStation for shouting us out for when you can't even get their console or any of their shit unless you're going to pay $1,000 for it. Like Chew. I had to pay $750. I mean, at least I got an extra controller. I didn't play that shit. Probably be playing it this afternoon. Tune back in. Next segment here, Sega Station Podcast. Appreciate all love and support for the podcast, as always. Callie bouncing around. My brother back home. He was whipping my ass in golf this morning. That was pretty tough. I probably still tied him at least, maybe. I don't know. Got a few more rips to get through here before I get out of here for the day. Solo ripping. And I want to touch on these NBA tampering violations, potentially. Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball, illegally being contacted before the 6 p.m. deadline that was prohibited in free agency last Friday or whatever it was. We saw it last season with Bogdan Bogdanovic, I'm sorry, and the Bucks. Ending up with the Hawks last season, that wasn't too bad, even though he was kind of banged up in the playoffs, so they didn't really have him as they expected as they had him in the regular season, but he was a piece that was included in tampering violations with the Bucks and was not able to join the team because of that. Do I think we have a situation here with Lonzo Ball like that? I'm sorry, with Lonzo Ball or Kyle Lowry? No, but that'd surely be interesting. Sure Rich would have something to say about that if that happened. I think this is more teams that maybe were interested in these players, missing out on these players. We've seen this before a little bit with Magic Johnson, even though he's not with the team when he was with the team. On Twitter with some tampering issues. This is a fucking crock of shit to me, because Lonzo Ball can text any fucking dude in the NBA he wants, and they could be playing fucking P5 at night, talking fucking joining together, and all these who's recruiting who in the Olympics and who's recruiting who here. Bro, that's what they're constantly doing. So the NBA is going to now just start stepping in and fucking saying, oh, no, you can't join this team because of tampering, or no, you're getting fined because of tampering. Well, you better start fucking fining and holding off every single move in the NBA then. Dude, it's fucking 2021. Like, even if, all right, you're going to get caught on a cell phone. People are doing dumber shit, sliding into DMs, fucking sending emails. I mean, there's all types of ways you can communicate nowadays off the black radar, and now, because two dudes signed real early, all these dudes signing mad early anyways. I mean, to me, them signing mad early because the season turnaround is so fucking quick, you already got Summer League ripping again. Summer League NBA games. Next thing you know, it's going to be the fucking opening night in a month and a half. Like, yeah, no shit, these guys want to sign quick. They got to get, I don't know, a house, move in, get figured. All this shit that everyone just takes for granted. Like, a dude moves to a new team and then all of a sudden he's, like, on the team, like, do you even think about, like, the dude's fucking living situation, his family, any of that? It's just all this shit that I see with sports that I just never see anybody talking about. When I kind of just put some of this shit into perspective and I'm listening and watching to some of these enshrinements as I talked about and seeing some of these stories where it's like, dude, really? Like, this is what we're worried about? Like, who's talking to who before the deadline? Like, please. The NBA has got more serious shit to worry about, like the NBA implementing the new non-basketball play for fouls in the Summer League, which I got something to say about that. Been talking good amount of NBA topics that I'll probably have to bring up with Rich again, but I also didn't feel like hitting up Rich today. He's been coming through so much, didn't want to bother him again today, as definitely he's working, so. But, yeah, this is going to be interesting because I've been seeing this in the Summer League, because obviously they try some of this out in the Summer League, and This is looking like a whole new fucking NBA to me, bro, because these refs are being told not to call some of this shit that normally would be called, where a lot of people say, oh, the NBA is soft, blah, blah, blah. No, the NBA got turned into like, oh, you can't foul a jump shooter. Like, you can't even touch a jump shooter, to you literally can't even go anywhere near a jump shooter's landing circle. Like, okay, well then, offensive players started taking advantage of that. It mainly comes from a lot of this James Harden bullshit. Trae Young gets thrown into this conversation. But guys have been doing this literally forever, except now it started getting called five, whatever so, years ago. NBA is kind of backing off on that a little bit, because it is kind of changing the game in aspects where dudes are literally fucking leaning in, expecting a foul call, knowing they're going to get a foul call, kicking their feet out, knowing they're going to get a foul call. And to me, that's not a basketball foul. That's not a basketball play. And the NBA is right for stepping in and trying to fix some of this. And I'm watching some of these summer league action replays. I'm watching them talk about this a little bit this morning on the platforms. I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, dude, this is what it looks like. You watch high school, college basketball, this is what it is. Like, the NBA have been tripping with calling a lot of these calls, and they are doing a great job now trying to step in and stop some of this. And this is going to impact some of these guys' games. I'm not saying some of these guys, like James Harden, Trae Young, all these guys that do some of this stuff, draw some of these fouls, won't be able to adjust, won't be able to still be great players in this league. But there's no denying the fact that it's part of some of these guys' game. It will certainly impact them slightly, and they won't be getting as many calls as they normally get if they've been expecting them. And that'll be interesting to watch if they're able to actually keep that going in the association out of the summer league. Just a couple quick updates on the summer league. I saw Josh Giddey going last night. I saw they were saying he cooked Cunningham. Cunningham got screened. I don't know. Cunningham had a decent debut. I mentioned Jericho Sims, Knicks first-round pick, nearly hitting his head on the rim, which was wild. Scotty Barnes didn't disappoint in his summer league debut. I think he's the steal of this draft. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals for the Raptors, number 4 overall. I like watching some of this up-and-coming talent, seeing which some of these guys that are going to impact the league right away. Scotty Barnes is going to be one of them. Jericho Sims, who knows? Can he get some time? Because obviously they need a backup in the Knicks. Big man. Saw Jalen Green, who became the highest drafted Asian American player in NBA history. I'm sorry, second overall to the Rockets, third Filipino American to enter the league. Makes him the highest drafted Asian American player of all time. Saw him playing last night, as I mentioned. Saw Cade, Josh Giddey. Looking forward to seeing some of these guys enter the league, and looking forward to seeing some of these games if they're able to not call those fouls. History for Middleton Holiday, as Chris and Drew are the 5th and 6th players to win an NBA championship and Olympic gold medal in the same year. They join Kyrie, LeBron, Scottie Pippen, who did it twice, and Michael Jordan. Pretty impressive there. Mentioned Kyle Lowry and the tampering issues, but I did see that the Raptors plan to retire Kyle Lowry's jersey, which I thought was pretty classy. You go and look at Kyle Lowry, who I think will be a huge impact player for the Heat this year, as long as he's able to stay on the team. Most assists in Raptors history, second most points scored, most triple doubles, most three pointers in a single season, third most rebounds, second most games played, most playoff games, 6-time All-Star, obviously 2019 NBA champion. Kyle Lowry was an epic Raptor, and that jersey certainly deserves to be retired. Shout out to Kyle Lowry. Saw a good amount of people making it back on the airwaves. I mentioned Keyshawn, as I mentioned, seeing Skip and Shannon back, who I saw Shannon had surgery last week and was off on vacation, I guess, getting surgery. And then 1 week after surgery is back, which is pretty wild to me. But shout out to modern medicine and recovery. And also, I believe, 50-year-old Shannon Sharp looking like he's 30. Let's see. I had a couple other wild ones to get into here. I wish Chu was around so I could ask him what the fuck the Texas Rangers are doing, bringing in fucking Brock Holt, who's throwing 30 miles per hour in a Major League Baseball game. Did you guys fucking see that? Like, that dude was throwing legitimate Little League meatballs. And It worked once. Like, he got a guy out. I think he might have got out of the inning. Yeah, he did, because he took his glove off and his hat, and they asked him to check for sticky stuff. That was actually pretty funny. But, dude, if you're going to throw a guy in who's throwing 30, like, let me get a fucking one day. Like, bro, I'll take fucking whatever it is, couple grand to throw an inning in the MLB if all you're looking for is fucking 30 miles per hour, bro. Like, damn. Like, yeah, that'd be cool. Like Mike style. Like, throw me in there. I'll fucking do what Brock Holt just did and try and get out three dudes in an inning. And next thing you know, I got a fucking two-week contract. Mets might need me in the bullpen. They're only a game and a half back of the Phillies, too. Braves are two back. But the East is certainly up for grabs after the Mets were leading it for three-plus months. That's fucking tough. I'm sure Chu doesn't even want to, like, chill right now because of that. Yeah. Probably just get out of here. Covered most of this stuff. Saw Kirk Cousins coming back talking about not being vaccinated, getting a ton of shit for it. Fucking Kanye West still living in Mercedes-Benz Arena. His album's now, whatever, Donda, expected to drop on the 15th after say it was the 5th, bro. Like, what the fuck? This dude just wants to keep living it at Mercedes-Benz, bro. He's just enjoying where he's at right now. I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Doing the best I can. Maybe I'll make it back tomorrow if I hear from the boys. Otherwise, I'll probably be too fucking pissed off from getting cucked at the dentist. But, yeah, I made that appointment because 1 week from tomorrow, I'm going back to get my sleeve I'm working on finished up. And that shit hurts so bad, so if I can do that, dentist ain't shit, bro. It's just mad expensive. But then again, everything's expensive. Started out with a little mic doing a pod, and now people ask me, it's funny. I love when people ask me about sports topics, or ask me about my pod, or ask me about how much I've had to invest into kind of getting to where I'm at with my pod. I'm like, dude, that don't mean shit to me, bro. I spend mad more money on worse shit than that. I think the setup's pretty sweet, to be honest. I don't know, that's just me. Yeah, I do think in a way, though, as much as things have kind of been pretty tough for me, you know, the fact that I can kind of buy certain things that I want for my car, even though sometimes I feel like I can't, my mouth being fucked up, just being like, yeah, dude, I gotta go get this shit fixed, and just being able to pay for it, even though it's slightly a problem, not really a problem, that shit makes me feel good, even though I feel like I've just been working so damn much, not making enough, so now I'm kind of trying to figure out where I'm gonna go from here, because I'm certainly not monetizing enough off my podcast. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm not doing it enough. I do think seeing Keyshawn come back after a week and maybe 2 weeks off, them talking about how there's so much to catch up on in 2 weeks of sports and how they're going to do it, how they did it this morning is typical KJZ style. I'm sure they'll be doing more of that when J. Will makes it back. I don't know if Zubin will ever make it back. I hope he's good. But the moral of that story is, I think a lot of people would rather just talk about the now and now what's going on right now. Not enough people can talk about what happened a week or so ago because so much shit goes on in 1 week. I don't know. Doesn't bother me, but not sure what the niche market really is in terms of trying to get people following along. It's more just doing my thing, trying to get the boys and others to join along the way, talking some sports and really just covering as many sports as I can. Passion for seeing some of the sports topics and things going on in sports, New York Giants and everything kind of coming up in this NFL season is pretty hype for me. Catching up a little bit today was good for sure, as I'm not sure when I'll be back to catch up again. Try to link up with Chu at some point, Rich, talk a little more hoops. Gotta try and get my brother to come over from there next door and give a little shout out to them G-men. Goal is to get my dad on the podcast that one day. That'd be hilarious. Everyone keeps telling me that'll give me more following and clout, because apparently that's what it's all about. I mean, whatever. I'm just trying to catch up and talk a little sports, be real on it. Anybody that enjoys listening to myself and anything that I have to say is certainly appreciated. That's all I have for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening, as always. And as always, to no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody. Peace and love. Stay safe out there. Always stumbling over my words on the end. You're listening to Seggy Station.